Throwing punches, burning buildings, destroying public monuments. We've seen it all over the last few months. It's infuriating to watch violent behavior go unchecked. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues a brand new message that arises from his recent study in Jeremiah's Journal of Woes, the Book of Lamentations. The connection between Jeremiah's anguish over the destruction of Jerusalem and our emotional turmoil today is remarkable. It assures us that God has seen this behavior before, and in the end, He'll have the final say. Chuck titled today's message, Coming to Terms with God's Wrath.
We live in an era when people rarely cry and virtually never blush. Even though we witness the nastiest, ugliest scenes, people talking to each other like animals, treating each other with hatred, ugly prejudice, harsh words, stinging rebukes, no respect, God doesn't just say, well, that's just the way human nature is. That's, you know, that happens. Oh, no. He sees and hears it all, just as he did in Jeremiah's day. And what happened then? Well, Lamentations chapter 2, the Lord in his anger. Look at that. He has cast a dark shadow over beautiful Jerusalem. Who cast the shadow? The Lord. Why did he cast it? Out of righteous indignation. He's had enough. It's gone on long enough. You people of Jerusalem, I've warned you and warned you and warned you. I've sent prophet after prophet, a few good kings, and I've told you over and over what is right, and you have ignored, you have resisted. That's enough. The enemy will come, and he has come. By Lamentations, the enemy has come, laid siege to Jerusalem, leveled it, destroyed the temple. Literally, I don't mean to be overdrawn here, but there are bloated bodies in the street. There are starving children on the loose, and there are people in exile on their way to Babylon, all because of the dark shadow that came as a consequence to their sin. There's nothing wrong with God. There's something terribly wrong with people who don't get it, who don't change. Look further. The fairest of Israel's cities lies in the dust, thrown down from the heights of heaven. Now you'll read it again. In his day of great anger, now you understand what that means. Call it righteous indignation, if that helps. In his day of great anger, the Lord has shown no mercy, even to his temple. Without mercy, the Lord has destroyed every home in Israel. Look at that. You say, I thought he was a God of mercy. Oh, he is. He is. But it has its limits. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. But the sea has its shore. His mercy has its limits. His patience has its end. And that's what's happened. That's why he writes it like this. In his anger, he's broken down the fortress walls of beautiful Jerusalem. He has brought them to the ground, dishonoring the kingdom and its rulers. All the strength of Israel vanishes beneath his righteous indignation, his fierce anger. We use the term lower the boom. He's lowered the boom. He said to the Jews of Jerusalem, I warned you, I warned you, I told you, I told you. In fact, you began to listen to the wrong ones. Look at verse 14. Talk about timely. Your prophets, this is not Jeremiah, these would be the false prophets. Your prophets have said so many foolish things, false to the core. They did not save you from exile by pointing out your sins. Instead, they painted false pictures, filling you with false hope. What did false prophets say? And by the way, anytime you find these kind of consequences, you're going to find false prophets, fake preachers, phony priests who tell people what they want to hear. And they had theirs. You need to hear the truth regarding your position in Christ as well as your failure when you disobey Christ. You need to know there is a price to pay. There are consequences that follow disobedience, and God doesn't shrug it off because He's a loving, good, tender God. Remember? There's more said about His wrath than His love and tenderness. Doesn't mean He's angry more than He's loving. It just means there are frequent causes brought on by the consequences of people's disobedience. Given a chance to choose, it's amazing how often people choose the wrong instead of the right. 2 Timothy 3 talks about the day in which we live. Turn there. You know, now listen what this says. You know, you should know this, Timothy. In the last days, there will be very difficult times. Okay? And that's where we're living. People will love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful. They'll be proud. They'll be scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents. Ooh. They'll be ungrateful. They'll consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving. They'll be unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They'll betray their friends. They'll be reckless, act religious, but they'll reject the power that could make them godly. Look at the next line, quoted from my mother. Stay away from people like that. Right there in the book, right there. You know what? Paul's right. You run with people like this, you'll become like this. It's a warning. We live in an era when people like this run together. They do. Some of them are in Congress. Some of them are bad cops. Certainly not the majority. Let's get that straight. Some of them are moms and dads, bad parents. Some of them are professionals. Some of them are professors. Some of them are very religious, pious men and women who don't want you to think of them like that, but that's the way they are. You spend time with people like that, you'll become people like that. By God's expressing His wrath, by God's bringing the consequences, and let me add this, they are often severe. They didn't make washing eggs off a house Boy Scout stuff. God's consequences can be severe. And they're designed not just to make us squirm, they're designed to bring about repentance, change, where we say, we get it. We've learned our lesson. We'll stop doing what we've been doing. Look at verse 18. This is how we handle it. It's a great place for me to really apply it to our times. Look at what the prophet writes. Cry aloud before the Lord. Oh, beautiful Jerusalem, let your tears flow. There it is, crying like a river day and night. Give yourselves no rest, no relief. Rise during the night and cry out. Pour out your heart like water to the Lord. Lift up your hands to him in prayer, pleading for your children. Talk about relevant. Let me apply that. We're in the midst of a pandemic. It may be making its course and returning. I don't know. But have you cried out to God about the pandemic? Have you wept before the Lord saying, Lord, whatever it will take, remove this plague. Give us the ability to get beyond it. We're in the middle of quarantines all around. Have you cried out before the Lord regarding closed schools and closed restaurants and stopped airlines and industries and no more vacationing, no more business offices, no more churches and parachurches like we used to know them? You cried out to God about that? Have you wept before him about that? That's what this is about. They had neither. And they're on their way to Babylon, the exiles out of the city. We're in an economic shutdown. That's where we are. Loss of jobs. A number of you have gone through this. My heart goes out to you. Stock market has fallen. The income has halted or been cut into. Rationing of goods and of foods. You cried out to God about that? Social injustices, prejudices I mentioned earlier, social chaos, a breakdown of law and order, extreme responses from those who take advantage of moments like, you cried out to God about that or just sat and complained in front of your television? They're not just peaceful protests. Some of them are street violent. And there's looting, and there's arsonists, and there are murders, and there are assaults on innocent victims. You watch them as their fists hit people right in the faces, and these people don't deserve that. Businesses that spent years being established shut down. We don't even look like the nation we once looked like. Heartbreaking. We finally are realizing we must call out to God. Believe me, that night, now that I've had a little fun about that Halloween day and that egg cleaning up, let me tell you that night what I did. By my mother, I am on my knees, and I'm before the Lord, laying out my life before him. I had no idea what my future held. But I learned a little about the holiness of God from a mother that didn't give in and say, well, boys will be boys. That's okay. You just kind of sow your wild oats. You'll get over it. I never heard words like that. I was never abused, never mistreated. But I'm telling you, she held our feet to the fire. The reason I don't mention my dad in this, he was gone most of the time working. My mother was the one that kind of led the family through our teenage years. Maybe it was the same with you, I don't know. When you come to the end of this chapter, he's back at the anger of God. You've invited terrors all around as though you were calling them to a day of feasting. In a day of the Lord's anger, no one has escaped or survived. We haven't, have we? I've not talked to anyone that hadn't been impacted in some way by what's been happening. Let me tell you something. It wasn't easy to preach on the wrath of God. I don't like the subject, just like I don't enjoy preaching on hell, but it's in the book. And it is the alternative to not believing in the Savior. Surprise to you that more is written about hell than heaven? We know more about hell than we do about heaven. It's real. It's real. I tell you, God means business. He's not just playing around with a little churchy religion, hoping we'll learn the songs and say the verses. This is life. This is how we raise a family. It's how we stand firm as a church. I want to close by returning to the words of my blind friend, J.I. Packer. The subject of divine wrath has in the past been handled irreverently, even malevolently. No doubt there have been some who have preached of wrath and damnation with tearless eyes and no pain in their hearts. No doubt the sight of small groups cheerfully consigning the whole world apart from themselves to hell has disgusted many. It disgusts me, I'll tell you. Yet if we would know God, it is vital that we face the truth concerning his wrath. However unfashionable it may be, and however strong our initial prejudices against it. Otherwise, writes Packer, we shall not understand the gospel of salvation from wrath, nor the achievement of the cross, nor the wonder of redeeming love, the love of our God. Nor shall we understand the hand of God in history and God's present dealings with our own people. I reserve my final words for you who are without Christ. I don't know who you are. If I did, I'd talk to you personally. I'd do so tactfully, but I'd prefer to do this personally. Let me warn you. You may joke about sort of not being on speaking terms with God, that you and he are sort of at your own 6-foot distance. How tragic. How dreadful to live like that and die like that. It saddens me because God doesn't want that for you. He's built a bridge to you, and he's opened his arms saying, come across to me. Come on my terms. Come through Christ, and I'll accept you just like you are. I'll forgive you, whatever you may name, it will be forgiven. But come, while there's still time, don't die in your sins. Because if you do, listen to the words of Jesus. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You live under his wrath. What a dreadful way to live. There's a better way. That's being forgiven and secure in Christ. Like most of those sitting around you today, you can know a peace. You can know the joy of prayer. You can know the relief of a clean conscience. You can learn harmony and some of the ways of reaching other people with your life so you don't have to live a selfish, narcissistic existence. I plead with you to come to Christ now. Now. Please bow your heads with me. Just sit tight right there. If you know the Lord Jesus, I'm going to ask you to pray for those around you who don't. I ask you also to pray for those whom you know who are still not in the family of God. Pray that God will bring them to their knees in humility and repentance, that they may trust Him through His Son, Jesus. If you're here today and that speaks to you, that's the next step for you. Please take Him now. Virtually every week of my ministry, I hear from someone who said, "When you gave us an opportunity to trust Christ, I did that." Sometime it was from years ago, and they never told me. You don't have to tell me, but they felt the need to do that now. Sometime it was last week, very recently. Maybe you today. Trust Him now. Thank you, dear Father, for loving us enough to tell us the truth. Thank you for not playing games when it comes to wrongdoing. Thank you for setting the standard so that truth is truth and a lie is a lie. Deliver us from following false teaching, hearing what we want to hear, praising those who tell us what makes us feel good. Bring us to an end of all of that nonsense so that we grow up in Christ. I pray that you would give courage to those ministers who have your word and have had the training to declare it. Free them up to do so, that the people of this day may be fed the truth and may understand how freeing and how joyful it is to walk in the light as you are in the light. Help us this week as we endure the trials that come often because of our failures. May we learn lessons from them. May we learn them permanently. In the name of Jesus, I pray this. Everyone said, Amen.
Chuck Swindoll has addressed a convicting subject on today's Insight for Living program. We're talking about coming to terms with God's wrath. And this concludes message number 5 in an 8-part study in Lamentations called Jeremiah's Journal of Woes. To learn more about this ministry, we'd like to invite you to go online to our website. You'll find us at insightworld.org. In the event you missed previous programs in this series, Insight for Living offers other options to keep current with Chuck's teaching. To listen at your own pace or to go back and catch up with programs you may have missed, you can easily listen online at insight.org or simply download our convenient app to your favorite mobile device. These timely resources are made possible in part through voluntary donations from friends and our monthly companions. When you give to Insight for Living Ministries, you're making it possible for us to share this daily Bible teaching with the world, and allowing us to teach the unfiltered truth of God's Word, even on popular topics such as the one we addressed today. And God is using our partnership to touch lives. Very recently, we received a message from a young lady who said, "Chuck, I'm 29 years old, and I feel like I can hear myself in your preaching. It's really helpful to me that I can relate to someone who's gone through so much. I feel like I'm by myself sometimes." And another who said, "Chuck, your radio program is very important to the homebound. I listen every night." Well, wonderful comments. And if you're listening today, I can assure you that you're not alone. You're surrounded by monthly companions and countless listeners from around the world. To become a monthly companion right now or to give a one-time donation, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. You can also give online at insight.org. Thank you for your generous support of Insight for Living Ministries. Most of us have been heartbroken to witness civil unrest in the public square, eclipsing the urgent medical needs imposed by the global pandemic. At Insight for Living Ministries, we believe there's never been a better time to extend God's grace to those in need.
In this emotionally charged era where shouting matches are commonplace, where people feel voiceless and overlooked and even condemned, would you be among those who give generously so that we can spread the fragrance of God's grace to those desperate for a second chance?
We're looking to add more monthly companions to the team. Become a monthly companion today by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion.
My friend, more than ever, Insight for Living Ministries is determined to serve as a lavish garden for people all around the world who long to smell the aroma of God's matchless grace. A safe place where imperfect, sinful people are forgiven, taught the truth, and redeemed.
To become a monthly companion, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Dave Spiker. Join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll identifies what to remember when you hit bottom. That's next time on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Coming to Terms with God's Wrath, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2020 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.